So Joseph went up from the town, of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David, and he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Let's bow together. Lord, deliver us from the tedium of taking for granted that which we have experienced before. The passage before us is familiar, and in familiarity we can lose wonder. Enlighten our hearts that we might receive these words with the wonder they deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. We have talked this Christmas season about the kind of king that Jesus is. We talked about how he was a humble king, and it is reinforced in the passage that we have here. What kind of foolishness is it that the shepherds would be told to go to find someone who would be great born in a manger? We talked about how he was the servant king. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to be a servant. We talked about how he was the rejectable king. And even today in this time, there are many who reject him. There are some right now who are fighting against even the celebration of Christmas because they desire to reject this king. And God continues to grant them the life and breath and health and all that they have. But today we come to probably the greatest mystery that could be had, and that is that he was not only a humble king, he was not only a servant king, he was not only a king who allowed himself to be rejected, but he was the sacrificial king. Kings don't die. Kings send young men to die. Kings send out their armies to die for them. Kings do not die for their kingdom. But Jesus is a different kind of king. He is the sacrificial king. John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1. John 1, 29. John the Baptist has been talking about this great one who will come. This one who is greater than he, whose shoes he is not even worthy to untie. Let me ask you, in your heart of hearts, do you have the attitude that you are not worthy to even unlace the sandals of Jesus of Nazareth? John the Baptist said he's not worthy of that. But notice what the Word of God says. John 1, 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Look! The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus was born to be a lamb. He was born as the Lamb of God. And isn't it interesting in that light that Jesus was born in a stable? We often say, oh, how incongruous it is that Jesus was born in a stable, but where else would a lamb be born? He was born in the place that declared who He was. He was the Lamb. He was that sacrificial Lamb. He was the Lamb of Genesis when Abraham climbed that hill with his son Isaac and was ready to kill his son. And Isaac said, Father, we have the fire and the wood, but where is the Lamb? And Abraham said by faith, God Himself will provide the Lamb. And Jesus was that Lamb that climbed that mountain, that very same mountain, to be the Lamb of God. He was born in a stable. That's where lambs are born. And even from the very moment of His birth, God was showing us what He came to do. There are many today that would accept that Jesus was a good person, but that is irrelevant. We need more than good people. We need more than examples. If Jesus was merely a good person, then we have no hope. Because there have been many that the world says were good people, and yet human hearts haven't changed. He was the Lamb. And you notice that Luke goes on and talks about the very first visitors to see this king who was born. Now, generally, kings would be visited by ambassadors, or perhaps other kings. But the very first to visit this king were shepherds living out in the field. Now, there are some that say, and I love how people are so intelligent sometimes. It's just absolutely frightening. But there are some who say, well, Jesus couldn't have been born in December because there were shepherds out in the field. And shepherds don't stay out in the fields in December. They're only out in the fields in the springtime. These were not any shepherds. They were shepherds who tended the flocks that would be grown for the temple where they would be sacrificed. And every single day of the year, someone says, what year, day was Jesus born? We don't have a clue. It could have been 365 days of the year. His birthday could have been in the spring. It could have been in the summer. It could have been in the fall. It could have been in the winter. It could have been any time at all. Because 365 days a year, sheep were needed to feed the altar of the temple, turn away the eye of God from the sins of the people day after day after day after day. Sheep were sacrificed upon that altar. 14,000 sheep a year were sacrificed on that altar. Day after day after day after day. And because they were sacrificed, there were shepherds to guard them. And those very same shepherds watching over the sacrificial lambs the angels came and said, "Come, see the real lamb. All those sheep you've raised all of your lives, your father's lives, your grandfather's lives, your great-grandfather's lives, your great-great-grandfather's lives, and going back for 1,000 years, have finally come to the true lamb. And he's born in a manger, the sacrificial king." His mission had been predicted. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. We have looked at this, but I want us to finish looking at this chapter. We've looked at various aspects of it, but turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. We talked about how he was a tender shoot, a root out of dry ground, a stunted plant. We've talked about how there was no beauty or majesty, nothing that would attract us to him. We've talked about how there was nothing in his appearance. He was not Arnold Schwarzenegger or Brad Pitt or whoever it is that the current Vogue says is the ideal, Will Smith, or now everybody's raving about him. That wasn't Jesus. We've talked about his rejection. He was despised and rejected by man. A man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. One that a person hides their faces from. He was despised. We didn't even give him a second thought. But I want us to begin in verse 4. Because verse 4 talks about how he was the lamb. It says, "Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows." There is no person in heaven who will fully understand what Jesus did. Because Jesus took all of the wrath of a holy God upon sin and took it upon himself. He bore our infirmities, carried our sorrows, not just earthly sorrows, not the sorrows of a life that has been driven to loneliness because of the betrayal of a friend, not just the sorrows of the pain of some horrible disease, but the true sorrow, the eternal sorrow of those who perish in the lake of fire. Yet we said he got what he deserved. He was smitten by God. He was pierced for our transgression. When those nails drove through him, they were to drive through me. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we can be healed. There are some today that take that verse to talk about sickness in this life, but what a ludicrous thing that is. It is not the sickness of this life that is the great threat to us. The healing that we need is not the healing from bunions or lumbago or whatever exotic illness, even horrible things like cancer. The healing that we need is an eternal healing, for all who are not healed by him will spend forever in a devil's lake of fire. And he can heal us from sin. He goes on and says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Isn't it interesting that the lamb died for the sheep that went astray? Each of us has turned to his own way. And you hear that today. As I talk to people continuously, I hear, well, I have my own God. I worship in my own way. You don't need to do this to worship. You don't need to do that to know God. I do it my own way. Yes, all of us, like sheep, have turned astray. We have turned to our own way. I want, I feel, I need, I think, I believe, my opinion. And we think that's a wonderful thing. But God finds it contemptuous. And the Lord laid all that iniquity on him. He was oppressed. Do you ever feel oppressed? He was oppressed. And afflicted. Do you ever feel afflicted? He was afflicted. Yet he didn't open his mouth. You never see Jesus on the cross staring down at the soldiers below him saying, one of these days, oh baby, you're going to wish you hadn't been here one of these days. Go ahead, laugh at me. I'll be laughing at you one of these days. No, he didn't open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, he didn't open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants, for he was cut off, he was killed, cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. Can you imagine that God's people have transgressed against him so that only the death of Jesus could pay that debt? For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked. With the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, his entire life, have you ever thought about what it must have been like to grow up Jesus Christ? To have been born in that manger and to begin to walk in Egypt, perhaps, to have taken his first step in the land of the enslavement of his people. When he took that first step, did he think, this is the first step on the road to the cross? To have made the long journey from Egypt back to Nazareth and to grow up, helping his father, apprenticing with his father, building houses. When he dropped a stone and it hit his hand, did he say, one day it won't just be a stone hitting my hand, it'll be a hammer driving nails into it? Did he say that? When his feet were sore and his legs hurt from a long day, did he say, someday these legs will know pain like no other legs have known? It was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. There are some today that say God just wouldn't do anything about suffering. What fools. How does the church even listen to such false teachers? If it was God's will to crush Jesus and have him suffer, how can any of us think we can go through life without suffering? But Lord makes his life a guilt offering and he sees, but yet he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life. There will be a resurrection and will be satisfied. By his knowledge, do you know him today? Do you really know Christ? By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear, he will carry their iniquities. Oh, what a lamb that was born. Luke gives us a little insight into that. Jesus studied those prophecies. When Jesus studied the prophecies, we know the first message he preached in the book of Luke, he quoted from the book of Isaiah and said, today these words have been fulfilled. Did Jesus, when he read the book of Isaiah, when he memorized this scripture, when he sat down and memorized that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, did he say, Father, how bad will it be? And yet he grew up prepared to go the way of the cross. Look at Luke chapter 2. We don't get very much insight into his childhood, but we do have this one passage, Luke 2, verse 41. Luke 2, 41. Luke 2, 41. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. There are some today that say, well, you know, we don't really have to take people to church. You know, let them choose their own way. Let them choose what they want to do. Let them choose. Jesus' parents didn't let him choose. They took him. They took him to the temple year after year. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. And then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone that heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us like this? Can you imagine yelling at God's son? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Jesus answered, why were you searching for me? He asked, didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? But they didn't understand. He did. He was born to be in that temple, not as a teacher, but as the lamb that would lay upon the altar and be killed. That house, for everyone else, was a house of prayer and forgiveness. For Jesus, that house was the house of death. The place where he would die for you, for me. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus has just had a discussion with Peter and with the disciples in which he has said, I am the rock and I will build my church. But in Matthew 16, 21, look at what Jesus says. Matthew 16, 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Jesus had to die. He was born to die. He was the Lamb who was born to die. You may have been born to live. You may have been born to have a life. You may have been born to have a family. You may have been born to know pleasure. You may have been born for many things. But Jesus was the sacrificial King, the Lamb born to die. And so, the Word of God says of him, look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. There are some today that say, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. I was talking with someone and he said, oh, you know, it's so hard. I can't get up in time for church. Isn't it amazing what we think we can't do, and yet Jesus was different than us. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Luke 9, 51. Luke 9, 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He was a lamb marching to his death, but he resolved himself. I love the King James. The King James translates that. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was the lamb who was born to die, and he would fulfill his mission. There are many today in the church who would say, yes, I have Jesus as my Savior. I was listening to someone today, and I don't know how many times he said that, but he said over and over again, you need to receive Jesus as your Savior. You need to receive Jesus as your Savior, and he is wrong. From the very beginning, the Word of God makes it clear that you cannot receive Jesus as your Savior. Look at the passage we read this morning, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Look at the message. Look at the message that was given by the angels. The angels appeared to the shepherds, and the shepherds were, I love the King James, were sore afraid. They were terrified. And look at what the angel said, verse 11. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. Who is the Savior? Christ, the Lord. And that word Christ means anointed King. He is the King. Have you bowed to Him? Oh, there are many people that are willing to let poor Jesus crawl across the floor to them, and if he really wants to, save them as long as he knows his place. But the Savior is Christ, the anointed King. You cannot have the Savior unless you bow to the King. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ. Look at what Isaiah says about this anointed King. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at the first verse. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom. For those who are in distress, in the past He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, He will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. And where did Jesus come to begin His ministry? To the land of Naphtali and the land of Zebulun, Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. You seen His light today? Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before You as a people rejoice at harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, You have shattered the yoke that burdens them. Not a yoke of the sword, but a yoke of sin. The bar laid across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. But it wasn't just a child. To us a son is given. And before He was the child born, He was the Son given. And the government will be upon His shoulders. Make no mistake, this sacrificial king may have been killed, but he is king still, and the government will be upon His shoulders. I was listening to someone on the radio the other day, and they were saying, they were trying to talk about the thousand-year reign, and they were trying to put it down and that there won't be a thousand-year reign. Let me clue you in. There will be a day when Jesus reigns on the earth. And there will be not one person who rebels against Him and lives to tell about it. The government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Are you under His government today? Does Jesus Christ rule in you today? Do you obey Him today? He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord, God's own zeal, God is going to make sure that happens. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Is Jesus Christ your King today? The angel said to the shepherds, Luke 2:11, "Today in the city of David is born to you a Savior who is Christ, the anointed King of Isaiah 9, Christ, the Messiah of Isaiah 7, the Christ. But He is not only Christ, He is also Lord." A Savior who is Christ the Lord. And Lord means but one thing, Master. Is Jesus the one in charge of your life today? You see, we cannot have the Savior born in the manger unless we have the Christ the Lord. My kids, a while ago, wanted to watch a movie and said, oh, it would be so funny and it was so great and, oh, they just had to see it. So I let them rent it, but I said, I'll watch it and see. And we watched about the first 20 minutes, and it was so vile and contemptible that I made them turn it off. But they said, "You're not being fair. It's better." So I said, "All right, I'm not going to let you watch it, but I'll watch it to give it so that you can't say I'm being unfair." And I watched this idiot movie, and it's utter stupidity. What a waste of good brain cells. And in it, this man is sitting down to pray at the table, which might be a positive thing until you hear his prayer. And his prayer was this. He said, "I pray for this meal to the little baby Jesus born in the manger." And his wife says, "You can't do that. He didn't stay a baby in the manger." And he said, "My Jesus did. I don't like that grown-up Jesus. He's too hardcore for me. I like the little baby in the manger. He's pretty safe. So I want to pray to the baby Jesus in the manger." And he goes back to his prayer and reiterates it again. And let me tell you, he has in verbal form what many people in America have in their minds but would never say. I love that little baby. Why is it that Christmas is an acceptable holiday and Easter isn't? Because we can deal with a baby in a manger. It's just the risen Lord of life that we have trouble with. But do not be deceived. Luke tells us very plainly, today is born the Savior who is Christ, the Lord. And there will come a day. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. There will come a day Philippians 2, verse 9. "Therefore God has highly exalted him," has exalted him to the highest place, "and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin." That Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every demon will bow. Satan, people say, "Hey, I worship Satan. He's the man." Satan will crawl like a worm on his belly before Jesus and will acknowledge Jesus is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me ask you, have you bowed that knee now? Not the mockery of many today that say, "Oh yes, I'll pray to receive Jesus, and I'll say he's my Lord, but I won't obey him." Are you one who have said Jesus is Lord? The Savior, the angels said, he's born as a sacrificial lamb. Today there is a Savior. He's the Lord of my life. Have you bowed your knee to him? Have you chosen to live a life that says Jesus is Lord? He was the sacrificial king. But the only way he'll be the sacrifice for you is if he's the Lord of all your life. Go to Bethlehem. Look for a baby born in a manger. Because today, in David's city, there is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's bow together. Lord, if there is anyone in this room, and undoubtedly there is, who has never truly come to you and said, Lord Jesus Christ, anointed King, Master, Jesus, the one the angel said will be the Savior. Lord, you are God and King, and right now I own you as my King. I bow before you and I kneel before you and I acknowledge that from now on, whatever you say, that's the law. That I will do. Be the Lord of my life so that you might save me. Lord, I pray that for any who has not done that, that you would today be the Lord of all the life of every lost person in this room that needs a Savior. He was the Lamb who was born to die, but He was the Lamb who is also the Lord. Help us to receive that sacrificial King today. In Jesus' name, amen.